Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and I use the pronouns she and her, and I am grateful to serve this wonderful, tenacious congregation. I am delighted to be with you this Sunday morning. It has been a while, and I have missed you. I wish we gathered in easier times, without COVID and climate change breathing on our necks. But what is important is that we do gather in worship, even in the most challenging of times, especially in the most challenging of times, even if we cannot see each other. But just to remind ourselves, we are part of a community who cares, considers what matters about being alive, and to always grow steadily in love and gratitude. Each of you are welcome this morning, no matter who you are, who you love, whether you are afraid or calm, are feeling fine, or have completely fallen apart. You are welcome here. You are worthy. You are loved. After the service at 11:30, we will have coffee hour on Zoom. I will be there and would just love to see your faces, so please join us. We will do joys and sorrows, and we will talk about the service. The link to that coffee hour is in the order of service. There's also a coffee gathering in person at Woof. So if you're needing people and feel okay being outside with others, bring your own coffee. It happens outside, and, well, it begins around noon, so you have time to get there. If you are new, welcome to our service. We are so glad you've joined us. We have so many ways to be in community with each other, even when we can't gather in a large group. And so if you want to be on our mailing list, please contact Pat Lichen, our administrator. Her email is at the end of the service. And I want you to all put this on your calendar. Next Sunday, between 12 and 2, we will be doing the first phase of our water communion service. Please bring water from home or somewhere special to pour in the common vessel. And we will have water from Woof for you to take home with you. Water connects us all, no matter where we are. Let us light our chalice this morning with the words of Samuel Johnson. Our brightest blazes of gladness are commonly kindled by unexpected sparks. Let our community spark blazes of gladness. Let us say our affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
Surprise is the starting point. Through surprise, our inner eyes are opened to the amazing fact that everything is gratuitous. In the end, gratefulness will be our full aliveness to a gratuitously given world. David Steindl-Rost.
Well, so good to be together this morning. For the beginning of my time with you today, I have a special assistant who we hope is going to cooperate. But today's service is about one thing. What's that one thing? It's surprise! And being a parent is full of surprises. There's no way to know who these little people are going to be. And so we wanted to share with you one of the fun things that Levi has started doing about surprise. Where's Levi? Where's Levi? Levi? Where? Peekaboo! The result is the same. But every time, where's Levi? Where is he? There he is! But every time, the reaction is different. Now that my very helpful assistant for this morning is taking his nap, I would love to share with you one of my favorite stories. Well, and one of Levi's favorite stories too, about surprise. Now, I'm going to need you to be a little bit brave because there's a monster in this story. Okay? And the thing is that this story is all about when we think we know what's going to happen, when we think we have a reason to be scared, when we think we have a reason to act a certain way. And then what happens? Something we were not expecting. Many of you who raised children in the 80s and 90s, or were children in the 80s and 90s, will remember this book. The monster at the end of this book, starring lovable, furry, old Grover. What did that say on the cover? What did that say? Did that say there will be a monster at the end of this book? It did? Oh, I'm so scared of monsters. Shh. Listen, I have an idea. If you do not turn any pages, you will never get to the end of this book. And that is good because there is a monster at the end of this book. So please do not turn the page. What do you think? Should we turn the page? I think I'm going to do it. You turned the page! Maybe you do not understand. You see, turning pages will bring us to the end of this book, and there is a monster at the end of this book. This will stop you from turning the page. See, I'm tying the pages together so you cannot. You turned another page. You do not know what you're doing to me. Now stop turning pages. There. I, Grover, am nailing this page to the next one so you will not be able to turn it and we will not move any closer to the monster at the end of this book. We got to use all our strengths to keep moving forward. You ready? Can you help me turn the page? All right. Do you know that every time you turn another page, you not only get us closer to the monster at the end of this book, but you make a terrible mess. This will stop you from turning pages. A heavy, thick, solid, strong brick wall. I would just like to see you try to turn this page. What do you think, everybody? Can we do it? Can we break down the wall? Kaboom! Do you know that you are very strong? The next page is the end of this book. And there is a monster at the end of this book. Oh, I am so scared. Please do not turn the page. Please, please, please. Oh. Well, look at that. This is the end of the book, and the only one here is me. I, lovable, furry, old Grover, and the monster at the end of this book. And you were so scared. I told you and told you there was nothing to be afraid of. The end. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I am so glad we all made it through that monster. But it wasn't really a monster. I know right now there might be things where you're not sure how they're going to end, or you're feeling a little bit nervous or afraid. And I'm here to remind you that the only way to get through is to keep going. We're going to keep on moving forward together.
Dear Spirit of Love and Life, let us be grateful for trees, for birds, for love, for the surprise of rainbows and laughter. Let us be grateful for people who care for the sick, who fight fires, who walk into disasters to help, who teach children, who grow our food. Let us hold in our love and care the people of Afghanistan and Haiti, and every person infected with COVID, and those who cannot breathe. Let us hold ourselves and those around us in tenderness and care. So many of us are tired, struggling to be resilient or hopeful or helpful. We all need love without judgment, without strings, just love bathing us in the knowledge that we are worthy and whole. Amen.
The river is flowing, flowing and growing. The river is flowing down to the sea. Mother, carry me, child, I will always be. Mother, carry me down to the sea.
Each day holds a surprise, but only if we expect it can we see, hear, or feel it when it comes to us. Let's not be afraid to receive each day's surprise, whether it comes as a sorrow or as a joy. It will open a new place in our hearts, a place where we can welcome new friends and celebrate more fully our shared humanity. Henry Nouwen.
Oh.
As I sit watching a Marvel movie with my child, our cat runs through the door and drops a live mouse. It hits the floor and moves fast. No plan, just away. They say when you are surprised, you freeze so briefly, just a 1/25th of a second. I do. My attention is yanked from the red and yellow explosion on the television to what? My child starts screaming. Both cats stalk after the terrified ball of scurrying fur, tails flicking. My mind settles. There's a mouse in the house. And a moment after that, and I'm the only grown up here. I have to do something. In my case, this means after the mouse flings itself down the stairs step by step and squeezes under a closet door, putting the cat in the closet and hoping it will take care of the situation. The cat chooses instead to just stare at the toolbox the mouse is hiding behind. Next, the mouse dashes into our bathroom, climbs the wall, and lands in the bathtub. After much commotion, I manage to get her onto a plastic tote lid, slam a bowl over her, and carry her outside. During all of this, my child screams alternatively, "Kill it," and "Do something," and does whatever she can to keep her feet off the floor, while both cats recede upstairs for a nap. That was surprise. The completely unexpected, a mouse scurrying through the house and the next half hour consumed by the unpredictable moves of a very tiny creature in my panicking, problem-solving mind. And then there was another surprise. Cats napping? With a mouse on the loose in the house? What's with that? The topic of our service today is surprise. Cleone and Stuart Hawkinson chose this topic by purchasing a sermon in last year's auction. You could do the same in this year's auction if you wish. And they have patiently waited until I found the right moment to preach it. And this is the right moment. Last spring and this summer, we have considered the importance of story in our lives in many Sunday services. Surprise is what happens when the story we have told ourselves about the way things are or will be is suddenly, unexpectedly disrupted. The story I told myself about that evening: I will watch this movie and go to bed, which I utterly expected to happen, got a significant plot twist. Another story I told myself, that my cats will want to kill rodents in my house, also turned out to be untrue, disrupted. To be surprised is a feature of life. Many surprises are good. A call from an old friend, turning a corner and seeing an astonishing sunset, falling in love, a book that illuminates things never considered, the taste of a new cuisine that speaks to one's soul. Other surprises are dreadful. The crash of metal against your car, a doctor with a grave expression, and a diagnosis, the shifting earth beneath you, a job loss, the voice of a beloved saying they no longer love you. Many of us would love to have a predictable and controllable life with novelty and difference brought in on our timeline and at our comfort level. And as much as most of us plan our futures, from the next hour to the next decade, life is insistent on throwing in surprises. The fact that life is surprise is coded into our DNA. Our brains are born ready to be surprised. Surprise is one of the 12 universal human emotions. Surprise shifts our attention from our predicted story or idea of how things are to something else entirely, and it does it quickly. Surprise undoubtedly saved many of our ancestors' lives in bad situations. But surprise isn't only about waking up to danger. It is also about what is new and possible. It allows for wonder and learning. Surprises, both the delightful and the unwelcome, have the potential to open us to a richer engagement with life. I used to write articles about faculty and their research. I always asked, what surprised you? This was the question that made the interview good, nearly every time. The person began to bubble with energy. The answers were about what didn't go right, what they were not expecting, what they got wrong, what confused them, and what changed the course of the research or the project. What surprised them was what made them dive deeper and learn more. Surprise was the edge of knowledge and humility. Surprise can wake us up. We notice that what we expected wasn't true in the moment of surprise. The truth is that we all construct stories of who we are, who other people are, how the world works, and what will happen next. Without a constructed idea of how things are, we can't actually function. It's how our brains work. Our brains write narratives to make sense of things. In fact, our brain writes narrative to make sense of things, even if big parts of the data is missing. It just makes up the data, so it can tell us a story that guides us. And the thing is, after we construct the story about how things are, we tend to stick to those stories and look for affirmation for them everywhere. If something contradicts the stories we tell ourselves, we are remarkably capable of ignoring or denying anything that contradicts them. None of us like to be wrong. We really don't like to be wrong. This can happen even when we tell ourselves stories that hurt us. Maybe the story we tell ourselves is that we aren't worthy. So we look for evidence of this, noticing when we make mistakes or fail, thinking this is evidence of unworthiness. Or we notice when people don't embrace us. We take certain moments as slights, evidence that we are not lovable. We discredit or ignore the times that things do go well, or just offer our loving presence to others in ways that matters, or when people around us do something that is kind. Because this isn't the information that affirms the story we are telling ourselves. However, if we walk into work one day and people have thrown a party for us to celebrate how much better the office is because we are in it, we're surprised by the party, of course, but also all this evidence that people think we're pretty great just for being us, mistakes and all. The story we've been telling ourselves about our unworthiness suddenly has to be rewritten. Having to rewrite the story can happen with stories we tell about other people, too. Maybe we are a Democrat, and talking to a neighbor we've really come to enjoy and appreciate, and we find out they voted for Trump. The story we've told ourselves is that Trump voters aren't smart, and they're not kind. But this person seems smart and kind. Surprise! Now we have to make a new story that incorporates that anomaly. Sometimes we have to dive pretty deep to incorporate the anomaly into a new story. That's what transforms us. Thomas Kuhn, a philosopher of science, introduced the idea of paradigms into the conversation about how scientific knowledge is created. In science, often there is a widely accepted theory or story that explains something. However, maybe anomalies are observed that can't be explained by the theory. Some, and this always happens actually, just want to ignore those anomalies, particularly those who have spent their entire careers proving the current theory, or those who have published textbooks saying that the theory is true. Eventually, though, someone gets very curious and dives into learning about the anomaly. What they discover has often ruined the prevalent theory and created a new one. Isaac Asimov once said, "The most exciting phrase to hear in science, the one that heralds new discoveries, is not Eureka." But that's funny. So much of our shift in understanding of the world comes from the phrases, "That's funny," "That's surprising," leading quickly to, "What is going on here?" Once our story was that dinosaurs looked like dragons, ferocious with gray and green skin. But surprise, they were more like birds, most likely with dazzling, colorful plumage. Once water was considered to be rare in the universe, but surprise, our solar system has held lots of water. Once we had an idea about how atoms were constructed, but surprise, after Ernest Rutherford shot alpha particles at a thin gold foil to prove that theory, something else happened entirely. He said it was almost as incredible as if you had fired a 15-inch shell at a piece of tissue paper and it came right back at you. We had to write an entirely new story, which led to the discoveries of quantum physics. We've had some very unpleasant surprises in the last month or two. In late June and early July, the story public health and political leaders told us was we would have a summer free of COVID concerns, that in fact we had almost controlled the pandemic. Many of us believed that story. We're happy to believe that story, only to be very surprised when Oregon descended into its worst surge of the entire pandemic, overwhelming hospitals in ways that we feared last year, but that never actually happened. So many people I talk to are spinning in uncertainty, trying to grab on to a new story about this situation, how it happened, who is to blame, what it means, and finding one's agency in that story, how to act and manage now. Then there was the quick fall of Afghanistan to the Taliban. Most Americans don't have a robust story about the U.S. presence in Afghanistan. I certainly didn't. My extreme surprise and dismay helped me understand that my unarticulated story would have been something like, the Afghan government isn't in that serious of danger from the Taliban. And the U.S. would, of course, do whatever it could before leaving to protect Americans and the Afghans who helped in the helped the U.S. in our 20 years there. Haiti had another earthquake, devastating the country once again. Sparks are setting off fires in places where moments before people felt safe in their homes. Hurricane season is beginning with a tense knowledge that a destructive surprise storm could hit any time, destroying so much. What meaning to make of any of this? What story do we tell about the unpredictable natural disasters that destroy lives and communities? What do we say about our agency, about how we bring love to these situations? The time after a surprise is the place and time that new meanings are made. After the surprise, when the story's been disrupted, we are required to create a new story. Sometimes we love surprises. Well, not many, like those bad ones that indicate the beginning of pain or suffering. But many of us enjoy the happy and neutral surprises. They add spice and joy to life. They can be openings to learning, wonder, gratitude, and novel experiences. Sometimes we don't like surprises, even the happy and neutral ones. Surprises can make us feel out of control, or stupid, or feeling foolish-looking as we scramble to deal with the changed circumstances. We want our plans to be what our plans were. Cultivating a healthy relationship with surprise is something that makes life better. It makes us more capable of making positive meanings to the stories that the surprise disrupted. Tania Luna, the co-author of Surprise, Embrace the Unpredictable and Engineer the Unexpected, says, "You have to train your brain to be more comfortable accepting surprise. And by that I mean surprise readiness, being comfortable with uncertainty, ambiguity, and change. Especially these days, that's an incredibly important skill. Especially these days, being comfortable with uncertainty and ambiguity and change is so important. We live in tumultuous times. The climate is unstable. The future of COVID is unknowable. The effects of the pandemic and climate chaos on economic and political systems is unsteady and largely unpredictable. Meanwhile, many of us are learning ways we have not heard the stories of people who have different identities than we do. These stories are often full of surprises, uncomfortable stories about what we didn't know and what we got wrong. And remember, we don't like being wrong. And how people have suffered right next to us in ways we never saw or understood. At the same time, we are all growing in relationships and deepening our understanding of ourselves. And we often encounter surprises in these times, breaking apart the well-rehearsed stories we've told ourselves about others and about ourselves. So what are we to do? How do you build surprise readiness? How do you prepare yourself so that after a surprise, you can create a new story, one that's positive and full of love? Expect surprise. Plan lightly. Open ourselves to possibilities instead of certainties. Lean into life where you never quite know what's going to happen, and it's going to be fun to find out. Try waking up every day and wondering, what is going to surprise me today? Keep a surprise journal and record moments of surprise every day and notice how those surprises affect you. and your attitude towards life. Welcome everything that comes into your life as a gift, from the bruised elbow to the smell of roses. Take risks. Risks will offer surprises. Try things where you have no idea what the outcome will be. Invite a neighbor you don't know to go for a walk. Go somewhere you've never been. Make a phone call that really makes you nervous. Get curious. Get to know strangers and find out more about your friends. Learn something you know nothing about. That's always full of quite a lot of surprises. Try surprising others by giving unexpected gifts or telling them thank you or just calling randomly and inviting them to do something. Do something really nice for someone with no explanation at all. Our lives are going to surprise us. It's the nature of life. We can open ourselves to that, living nimbly on possibilities, wondering, what do I get to learn now? What do I understand to be true that I didn't understand to be true before? What will be different now after this surprise? And what compassion, what kindness, what love is possible to offer in the world to myself in this moment? Look, everyone, look to surprise. Amen.
Come on, open your eyes and let your love shine down. We'll surprise.
Our benediction is from Molly Fuma. Oh, great spirit of surprise, dazzle us each day full of amazing embraces, capricious, uncalculated caring, great hearts, kind souls, and doers of good deeds. I extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with you until we meet again.